Welcome along to the Retro Asylum.
Yeah, you don't mention the episode number there, mate.
And I'll make sure not to mention that this is episode 300. Not the episode 300 that you're looking for, but this is most definitely episode 300. I'm here today with...
What do you mean, not the episode 300 they're looking for? What could be better than this?
Well, these are not the droids you're looking for, mate.
299 and a half?
We can't. Nah. We're not allowed to do that, mate. Mads doesn't like that.
I hate all of those half numbers. No. Doesn't work for me.
Wow.
Well. Also, we'll run out of decimal increments by the time we put 300 out, so we'd be like...
Most definitely.
We'd be like 299.9.7 yes. Or something.
So, I guess like most of our listeners know by now, because Chris and I have been whining about this, getting everybody ready, rounded up for recording is like herding cats. It's impossible. So at some point, there will be a celebration of 300 episodes. It will not be on the 300th episode, because that's this one. And as you can already hear, listeners, I'm here with Mark and Chris. And this is the Game Club shortlist episode for... Which month is it, Chris?
March.
It is March 2023.
Are you all right, mate? You needed reminding of the Gregorian calendar order there. You know, it goes February, March, April, you know?
I was just trying to give you a bit of room to speak, because I was speaking all the time. So it's all about being a professional podcaster, mate.
Okay. I'll speak then. Just going back to this numbering thing. You know, actually...
Chris, you know you're not allowed to talk about numbers. I can talk about numbers.
I'm not. Listen. Actually, this is probably about episode 340 of Retro Asylum, because remember they used to do those daft half-numbered episodes back in the day?
Yeah, and the bite-sized ones and...
All that. Yeah. All that. Mm. You know, so it's probably about episode 340 anyway, so who's counting? Just I'm not anymore.
Don't tell Dean he wants to celebrate 300 episodes.
Okay.
Nope, but that was a bit of a messy start. I'm here with Mark. Mark, say hello.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Fine, thanks. How about you? Working yourself half to death?
Yep, trying to kill myself slowly, you know, in a work puddle. But yeah, we're good. We're good. I decided I'd come home just to record, because there's no way I'm going to miss it. Same thing may happen tomorrow too, Mads. So
we'll see. Yep. Well done. So same thing will probably happen for me as well tomorrow.
Oh yeah, yes sir.
Are you? After this, you're going to go back?
Yep, you bet.
Oh, mate.
Yep, yeah. Me too.
You guys, God.
Tomorrow it may just be Mark and Jim recording about Sonic 2, but I want to tell people how much I love Sonic 2, so I'll try to be there, definitely.
Sonic 2 episode ought to be
interesting.
You guys
have been having fun?
Oh, yes. Define fun, Chris.
Did you like it, Mark? You don't seem to hate it from what you've put on Discord.
I don't hate it. No, I may be the only one defending it. Well, maybe. Oh, Jim loves it, right? So,
yeah.
Jim does love it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say I hate it.
Poor Jim, he's had a rough ride.
It's been an interesting discussion this month, yeah?
Mm.
You've been following it much, Chris?
Yeah, it's probably the most unpopular Game Club game I think we've had, isn't it?
There's been a few people defending it as well.
I don't know.
Nobody said it was a good game, though. But people have said it isn't as bad as everybody says. I think that's where we are.
I've been meaning to give it a go all month. I just haven't got round to it. I do think these 8-bit platformers are difficult to go back to be honest. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, game design has moved on so much. And there's some exceptions, but I reckon a lot of 8-bit platformers that we were fond of back in the day are pretty choppy now.
Yeah, so I can see why people who have rose-tinted spectacles on like this game, because it's a beauty, and it runs really well on the old Master System. But let's get into that tomorrow, and I don't actually hate it, but more about that tomorrow. How about you, Chris?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, I've been retro-wise, so I've just started Super Mario RPG on the SNES, which I mentioned briefly on playthrough the other night. But I've now probably sunk 3 or 4 hours into that now. And it's very basic. Very, you know, the most I know about this game is through Retro Game Squad. And remember, Mads, I'm closer to the past with Retro Game Squad than you are, because I'm still working my way through the back issues. Mm. But you don't really remember way back in the day, they played some. I think Alex and Jeff are not natural. RPG players, are they?
Oh no.
But they had an RPG month where they played. They each played some probably more accessible RPGs.
I was laughing aloud to myself when they announced which RPGs they were playing.
Yeah, I know.
They were hardly RPGs, really.
No, some of them weren't. Some of them, yeah, there was a very broad definition, I think, of RPGs. But John played Super Mario RPG, and I think he played through it in one sitting.
Whoa.
Wow. Do you remember?
No, I don't.
He played through it. I think he streamed the whole thing in one sitting. You can get through it in about 14, 15 hours.
Whoa.
So
that's a long day.
Yeah,
it's a very long day, but it is, compared to most RPGs, it is a very short game. So, I'm enjoying it so far. I like the graphics, I like the music, but it is very simple, really. Like, I've just finished Final Fantasy III, which is an infinitely deeper and more complex RPG, and one which predates Mario RPG by a good 5 or 6 years.
So does it always, or does it already introduce the timed attack elements there? I feel certain I played through this actually at some point. I think the first time I got an emulator installed on my DS, hacked DS, I played through a Super Mario RPG.
Oh, you've played it?
Yeah, I think I played all the way through it.
What inspired?
I enjoyed it for the simple little game that it is, and getting nailing the attack where you jump on their heads by pressing the button at the right time is quite doable. So after a while, you just breeze through it, right?
It's a really simple game. But the nice graphics and really nice music, Yoko Shimomura soundtrack.
But it's not a game you play for the story. I mean, it's not an RPG in that way.
No.
Now, what inspired you to play this one, Chris?
I've just had a Yoko Shimomura soundtrack. I'm thinking, is it Yasunori Mitsuda? I can't remember off the top of my head. One of the two. Either way, it's a really stellar soundtrack. So for Gator Rinse this year, my pick for the volume was Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, which was a GBA game that's just come out on the Switch.
So now you have to play all of the games that led there?
I have to play the preceding Mario RPGs, mate. You know that's the case. So before October this year, I need to play Super Mario RPG and Paper Mario.
So I've just been going through examinations for autism with my kids, Chris, and I must say you tick a lot of boxes.
maybe
might be on the spectrum.
And not the set X.
You're sending me doolally, aren't you, in this episode as well? Or you're trying to bring me down at the knees?
I will.
That's retro wise. I've been playing some Parodius as well. I said this on the last episode we were on, Mark.
Yeah.
That's another one. There's going to be a Kane and Rince episode on that in 2 or 3 weeks on the whole Parodius series. So I've been having a go at those games. Certainly not trying to finish them, because although they're a lot easier than Gradius,
they're hard.
They're really nice. I'm kind of on the third one now, which is Gokujo Parodius.
Okay.
Which never got released outside of Japan, certainly in the arcade anyway. But that's a really, really nice. I mean, those games are completely and totally mental.
Yep. Yeah.
There is some really odd imagery in those games, but they're quite fun. They're quite fun to play, and they're not. So Gokujo Parodius, I think it's only got 8 stages. I only played it for the first time yesterday, and just earlier I got to stage 4.
Okay.
So for an arcade game, it shows you just how much easier it is than your typical shooter.
Yeah, that's a bit weird actually to design an arcade game like that.
You spend a lot of time getting all the time. How does he get time to play all these games? I guess Mads and Mark work. Chris gets to play games.
I do, mate. Yeah. That's what I do. I just sit around all day just playing games. That's me. I don't do a lot else, to be honest. I mean, that's in my spare time. I watch the odd bit of TV, but I don't know. You choose your spare time a certain way, don't you? That's how I choose to spend mine.
That's awesome.
I just don't have spare time. I never watch TV. No TV, no movies, no nothing. The only series I see is The Last of Us, I guess.
Oh, that show's gotta been watch that. So good. Oh, my gosh.
Last episode was really good, by the way. So, yeah, all listeners, please check that out. Wonderful show.
Yeah. That's me. That's all I've been up to.
What about you, Mr. Mads? What have you been doing these last couple of weeks?
Working. And retro gaming wise, playing a bit of Sonic 2, of course. I finished it, or completed it, or beat it, or whatever you want to
that's
say.
That's how I felt. That's what I put. That's what that was my post last night when I finally I didn't complete it because I got 0 gems as well.
So, yes, yeah. Me as well. And I had
0 Chaos Emeralds means zero completion.
That's, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and so, I had no desire to find.
You recorded an episode on it tomorrow. At least know the lingo.
That was my fault. It's the first Sonic game that, I've ever played. Like,
yeah,
hard. I'd say it was a hard play. I mean, I popped in, you know, Sonic on the Mega Drive multiple times. Just that's, you know, music's great. It's colorful.
Yeah. Same for me, actually. I popped in Sonic for the Mega Drive a few times and found it to be beautiful, fast, really well sounding, and boring. So I never played any either. So, yeah. But more.
It's no Bonk.
It's no Bonk. It's no Bonk's Adventure.
Gosh, yeah. Bonk's Revenge. I want to go back.
Yeah.
The Bonk's Revenge is so good.
It was.
Yeah.
But apart from that, like I mentioned on the playthrough episode recently, I've been playing through some old point-and-click adventure games. So the Blackwell series, I've been playing through the first 4 of those in bed on the Steam Deck. It's a wonderful way to play these. So yeah, really highly recommend those if you like your point-and-clicks and like supernatural murder mystery kind of things. It's really good. Well made. So, yeah. But apart from that, nothing is new for me, so let's just move into the subject matter. We are talking about the vote.
What about Mark? Are we going to ask Mark what he's been up to, Matt, or are you just going to ignore our new friend here?
Didn't we ask him already? I forget.
I don't think so. Could we, Mark?
Mark, did we ask him?
I probably not.
I'm here for you, mate. I'm here.
I think we did.
I feel bad for making fun of you picking odd numbers.
Don't worry. You know, yeah, I'm used to it with this rabble that I often record with.
Riff-raff. Yeah, I know. I know. And listening to the playthrough, I listened to that this morning, your waffle episode, which, I mean, come on, those are the best episodes. Not to discourage your other ones, but everybody loves the crispy waffles. They're so good.
We should just do waffle episodes on playthrough. Just people do seem to enjoy us talking nonsense for a couple of hours.
Except that one. There was one reviewer, right, that you mentioned that was...
Our very first review.
He killed us. He killed us with words on our very first episode. Matt wasn't on this one, so he's absolved of any blame. But the intro episode where we introduced the podcast... He really didn't like it, this fella. What can you do?
You can't win them all, you know?
But at least he gave us the term a waffle episode. I mean, he gave us that one. Because he was talking about how we had long, drawn-out waffle. Is that what he said? Yeah.
It's perfect. And look at it. You've integrated it. I mean, that's taking some criticism and taking it to heart and running with it. So
exactly.
Well, there we go. This is, you know, as Matt said on Discord, this is what we do. These are the flavor of waffles we cook up. And if you don't like it, there are plenty of other podcasts out there.
Yeah. So I would say if anybody hasn't listened to that one, they need to go check it out because it was fun. And just a heartfelt, warm to Andy's favorite movie, Top Gun. Oh, that warms my heart. I have an original Top Gun poster in my movie theater over here next door to me here.
Wow.
That is because it's my favorite movie. So, yeah. And if I refer to it as my favorite volleyball movie, I don't know. I get looked at funny, but it's a great movie.
There's volleyball in Top Gun?
Have you not seen Top Gun, Mads?
No, I've watched half of it, and I was so bored that I stopped.
You know, I have never seen it either.
Okay,
you guys,
I didn't want to say the other night.
Andy, you got to get on that. You got to tell him. Oh my gosh, did you at least see the new Maverick?
No.
Are you guys kidding me? You guys don't like U.S. military movies? I'm so confused.
Maybe that's it. I'm not sure. I actually did try once with my wife watching Top Gun. She loved it and she told me, this is a great movie. And I think I saw like half of it and then I zoned out and started working instead. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
I think I would like it. I've just never, it's one of those movies I've never got around to watching.
I mean, if you've got somebody with a home theater where they've got good booming sound, I mean, it makes a big difference. If you're just watching it on your flat panel TV, even if you got a nice one, I mean, you've got to have the sound. I don't know. It's so cheesy and it's perfectly 80s wrapped up into a nice little bow package. I don't know.
I should watch it. Yeah, I reckon too. I would like it. I reckon I would like it, but I've just never. Andy's going to kill us next time we record playthrough.
I'm glad I brought it.
Let's hope he doesn't hear this one.
I'll make sure I ping him. Even if you don't see it, that new Maverick movie was phenomenal. It was flipping good. Yeah. So I would recommend at least just that one's entertaining enough, but it's nice to have the backstory of the original. I mean, Chris, if you watched Maverick before you watched Top Gun, I don't know.
It's out of the question, mate.
I wouldn't even know who you'd be. Yeah. What would we do with you?
Yeah. I doubted the question. I couldn't. I'd have to binge the. How many was the three original? Was there in the 80s?
No, there's just
just one, right?
Just one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There were some parodies. There's one called Hot Shots, I think, where it was kind of.
I've seen that. I like that
really
one.
Good.
Oh, you guys are.
Yeah, I've seen.
Oh, Andy, help me out. Man. Where are you? I need you.
I love the Hot Shots film.
Yeah, me too.
yeah. I think it was Hot Shot. I'm pretty sure. Anyway.
Naked Gun, wasn't that a parody of Top Gun?
No, that's something.
That was Leslie Nielsen doing his stuff. Yeah, that was great stuff as well. I love those really, really silly, stupid 80s movies, actually. I need to watch some of those again. They probably aged like fine wine.
I'm sure.
What's the one with the mermaid as well?
With the mermaid?
What was that called? Is that Leslie Nielsen as well? Is there a mermaid in Hot Shots? Is there a mermaid in Naked Gun?
I don't remember. It's been so long since I've. Mm. It's been so long since I've seen.
But Hot Shot was weird enough so that it could definitely have been there. I mean, in Hot Shots, I'm sure in one of them he shoots a guy with a chicken, for example.
He does.
Right.
They're great films.
So silly.
But we promise we will watch Top Gun. That was it, Top Gun. All right, Chris?
Well, yeah.
Maybe we should watch it together, that one.
But I think you guys would really enjoy Maverick. I'm almost certain of it. But
I forget how we got onto that. We were asking you what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, I just listened to the Waffle podcast this morning.
It was kind of
fresh in the memory and we kind of talked off mic about how you were. I found that interesting, Chris. How you aren't as comfortable talking about your hobbies to not strangers or just people around you. I thought that was an interesting topic because it is kind of weird. I mean, when I think about it, everybody I know that knows me knows that I'm a big dork, and so I'm happy to share. My big dorkiness with them. However, it is disheartening, like when somebody from the UK that I've met tells me that, you're one of those dorky computer kids. I was so excited to talk to somebody from the UK here about the Spectrum, and I just got shot down. So there's lots of stuff like that, right? So I totally get the...
Yeah, there are tons of obnoxious people here, mate. I can guarantee. Screw that guy and people like him.
Oh, hopefully he hears this. No, he won't. I don't know. What else have I done? One thing I never... I made one goofy post about... the weekend of Super Bowl, was that 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weekends ago. Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
So you remember when we recorded, Chris, I talked about this crazy Amiga find that I found?
Yeah.
Well, that guy called my friend back and said, "Hey, who is the guy that bought all my Amigas?" And I thought, uh-oh, because I got him for a song, right? And he said, "I found a whole pile of them in my basement at our..." And by basement, I mean, it's a dungeon. It was an absolute filthy, nightmarish mess. And I went there and picked up. He had three more Amiga 2000s.
This is not fair.
An Amiga 1000, a 500.
Oh, I want a 1000.
An Apple IIgs, all these things. And I mean, these things are absolutely filthy. And I picked these things up, and I was like, well, what, you know, how much you want for them? He's like, oh, man, maybe $300. Is that too much? I'm like, no, I'll give you four. That's, like, way more. I mean, that's way generous, you know. And so he's like, you're doing me a favor. Anyway, he took us a tour. He's an ISP provider here in Salt Lake that,
yeah. Okay.
That has been around since 1993.
Well, he individually is an ISP provider.
Well, his company that he started.
Right.
And so, okay. And he's like, I think he's in his mid-50s. And I was like, wait, because he doesn't look that old. I'm like, you started this in 93, an ISP provider?
Amazing.
And they're still around. So he's
been one of the first.
What's that?
He must have been one of the first to kind of actually commercially do it.
He was early on for sure. He had a metal sign down in that basement that said, if you don't have DSL, you're SOL. So, I mean, they've been around for a while. Anyway, I got all these crazy computers. I've got, I picked up, I got like a Mac, one of those PowerPC Mac clones.
Wow.
I've got all this stuff. Okay. And I haven't even posted it because I don't even know. Cool. It's literally in the basement. You need to post
pictures, mate.
Yeah, people love it. People love that stuff.
And I was trying to looking at it. Yeah, I was trying to do a video on it and all that. I am not very talented with that stuff, but we'll see. I need to get the pictures on there, but that was, man, that was 2 weeks ago. And this is just from like, what, about 8 weeks ago. And I picked up all those other Amigas and things. And it's insane. The 1000 is pretty trashed. I need
to
pay a visit
to your dungeon.
It's pretty bad. It's starting to implode, as you can see around me. So that's what I've been up to. I've been trying to clean and figure out what to do with all of this stuff. You're a hoarder.
We all know that, mate. So, of course, you need to buy everything.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy with what I have, but there is one thing that I would still like, and that's the Amiga 1000 you just got. One of those, because that's a piece of history right there. That's the first Amiga that was out there. I would love to have one of those. It's actually the first Amiga I played with as well. I never had one, but one of my friend's father had it, and we played a lot on that. So, I'd love to get a 1000 at some point.
So that's the one that released in 1986, wasn't it? The original?
Yeah, that's the first one.
Mm. It's gorgeous.
Have you opened it up? Because in the lid, there should be the signature from the guys who made the machine.
Yes. Wow. I haven't actually opened it. It's actually missing the front piece, the center piece on it, which is such a shame. That I think covers that, the 256K of RAM.
Yeah.
So that piece is missing, and there was no keyboard. We looked everywhere, because even he was like, I think the keyboard's down here. But I got three keyboards with the 2000s. I mean, those are so hard to find anymore.
Nice.
But one of the Amigas were 2000s were painted. And like painted gunmetal gray.
That people do that.
And as
you know how to paint stuff, mate. So you can make a new look for that.
Yeah. So I mean, I mean, I'm a painter, right? It's what I do and have done. And so I'll probably try and make it back to normal. I don't know.
Do something special. Do something fun with it.
You might, if it's already been painted, you might as well do something with it now.
Yeah. Pretty well. Do some flames. No, I'm not going to do that. But
a decal.
But as a spoiler, I popped the Varta battery out of. I had one of the 2000s was so clean. He actually had it up in the loft. So he took us on a tour of this ISP plant. Man, talk about waffling. I'm sorry, we're already 25 minutes into this thing. Into this episode.
I blame Playthrough. You've just been listening to Playthrough. We've just been recording Playthrough. We just continued the waffle. So.
It's going on. Anyway, he took us around because this guy is an arcade collector. He has arcade machines throughout his company on display to play, as well as stuff kind of hidden away. So he took us all over, showing us all these cool things. It was really, really neat. He had has a computer space, the very first arcade machine. The
amazing.
It's a two-player one, so it's not the crazy, but it's still fiberglass. Yep. And he has a picture of Nolan Bushnell and him with his signature on it. He signed it for him. Like, are you kidding me? It was amazing. Fascinating. It was really, I mean, apart from getting the cool Amigas, that was really cool. But this one 2000 he had hiding up there, he's like, oh, this, the other 2000 I have is up here. He kept it aside. It had, it has a video toaster in it as well, because I, one of the other ones I got in December had a video toaster, and this one has a an O3O accelerator in it with a 50 megahertz chip on it. Mm. And it's got a Genlock on it too or something. I don't know these things, but I got all this cool stuff. So I don't know. I need a, I mean, I've got my Amiga 1000 right here and my 500. I need to stick a 2000 up here next to it somehow.
Mate, don't forget to use them.
But that's it.
That's it. But displaying is nice as well, Chris. Displaying is nice.
Yeah,
as
true.
Well.
But it's nice to have this stuff.
They are hooked up. They're ready to play. I just have to flip switches, so they're not too bad. Not too bad. Good, but that's been me just buying stuff that I definitely do not need. You know?
Don't we all?
Mate, that's what we do.
This is how I got all the Atari. This is how you guys got Ataris. I have too many. I still have too many Ataris. You know? Whatever. It's a, you know, it's hard to be me, I guess, right? That's the first world problems. Too many,
it's a
too
nice
much,
problem to have.
Too much hardware. But the Amiga is just stuff we never had. I love that you played with one back in the day, an Amiga 1000. That's cool.
Yeah, I did. And then got my 500 later on. But the Amiga is still probably my favorite computer ever. The 500, I spent so much time with that.
Yeah. Pretty neat. Yeah. I'll be taking them. I'll try to take some pictures of the signatures and make sure the batteries get cut to make sure they haven't bled everywhere.
Yeah.
But oh my
gosh. So are we all waffled out? Are we ready?
I think so. Yeah. We probably ought to get talking about these games. Yeah.
So we need to get Mark back to work. So we will get grief from his boss. So.
Please. Yeah. No, I am the boss. So that's okay.
Ah, that's good. All good then, mate. But let's get into it. I mean, the theme for this month, or for the coming month, will be Sega Saturn exclusives. Whose idea was this, Chris? Was that you, or who came up with that?
Well, I think I just threw it out there because we've spoken many times, Mads, about the fact that we've never really played the we've never played the Sega Saturn game in the Game Club.
Have we? Okay.
No.
Oh yeah, I was thinking Dodonpachi, but no, that was the arcade.
Yeah, that was JK.
Yeah, we've had Saturn games on the shortlist. I'm sure at least we've had an RPG on the shortlist that was a Saturn game.
Mm.
Although, now that I mentioned it, I can't remember which one.
Maybe the one that I'm bringing to the table today.
That's right. I think it was when you were asking me, what are we going to talk about this year? I kind of went through, I'm like, we've never played a Saturn game. I think that's right.
I think that's right. Yeah, and I think there has been worries about how emulatable the Saturn is, but I think it is now fairly strong.
Yes,
as far as I'm aware, and obviously there's a working but not yet official Mr. Core, which is working to various extents depending on which game you want to play. So it's high time, really. I mean, in 4 years of doing the Game Club, more than 4 years, we're not to have played the Saturn game. Oh, criminal!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great call.
Need to do it.
Great call, mate. So we decided to go for the Saturn exclusives because the Saturn is probably best known, by me at least, for some really, really beautiful arcade conversions. So lots and lots of smups that just run perfectly on that machine because it is a 2D powerhouse, isn't it? But we've gone for some exclusives because that's definitely games we haven't covered before on the Game Club, of course, because we haven't covered the Saturn. So should we just get into it? Just get into the list?
Yeah.
We've brought two games to the table, each one. And we will whittle that list down to just three games. So, Mark, what's your first game?
Let's see. My first game I picked is... I got to look on my shelf again. I can't remember. Guardian Heroes. That's
already.
It. Guardian Heroes. I go like, oh, I'm taking... I don't have notes in front of me. Guardian Heroes. Now, Guardian Heroes is so cool. Apparently, it was made by Treasure. This is an up to 6-player co-op, if you can believe it, game that you can play, and it's a beat 'em up in the vein of Final Fight. However, how this differs from your kind of normal side scroller is you have what Neo Geo game?
You got to remember, Mark, you need to sell the game to Chris and I, because otherwise we'll eliminate it from the list. And using the word final fight.
I know.
It's not a good tactic with Chris. It's not a good tactic.
I'm getting there. Because it's a beat 'em up. That's, you know, side scroller. However, where it differs, and that's where I'm getting to, is you have different levels of depth in the play. So you can kind of jump to and from, I think it's three levels that you can bounce back and forth, and instead of just having a one, you know, just your power button, you actually have combos like you would in like Street Fighter 2 or you know, Fatal Fury and stuff like that. So each character, and I don't recall how many characters, it might be six, because you can actually have co-op six player, and you can actually do crazy fun power moves. And this game is gorgeous. I mean, the animated hand-drawn sprites. I mean, it's treasure. I mean, has anybody played Gunstar Heroes?
Yeah.
All those fun. I mean, treasure is a, you know, pun intended, is just a gem of a developer, right?
Legendary.
Absolutely. So, I don't know how to sell you. I mean, it's a beat 'em up, right? And we've. I remember Chris picked a beat 'em up game on his Finish 'em, and he hated it. So he wanted to love Final Fight. This is not Final Fight. You're talking 7 years on from a beat 'em up, and they tried to do it different. And this is definitely a different style of.
Yeah, the key differences, I suppose, is Final Fight was a coin guzzling arcade game, and this isn't. And that's a big difference.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and like I said, being able to do a combo and doing different, there's so many, there's different paths you can take, as I recall. I mean, it's been a long time since I played this. I played this through with one of my friends, I mean, way back 15 years ago. And just had a
seeing great, as you're a new host time. Here, I'm just going to help you a bit. Just tie in a reference to Double Dragon now, and you'll get at least one vote from Dean Swain.
From Dean, yeah. I mean, you can punch people. I don't know about kicking. It does go left to right. No, that's all good. That's about it.
And it was best on the Speccy, right? It was best on the Speccy.
You know, when I grew up, that was the version I played, you know?
Of course, yep.
Speccy.
One vote down.
Have you played this, Matt?
No, never. I've hardly ever played the Saturn apart from the shoot 'em up library, actually. So
really?
I love Layer Section, and I played Cotton 2 and... Yep, Danpachi and so on, but hardly ever played my Saturn actually.
I've had a quick go at this.
Yeah.
When I first got my Saturn, it was one of the games that I fired up and had a quick go. And yeah, as Mark says, it does look really, really pretty.
Mm.
I didn't spend too long on it, but I clearly remember that three track.
Okay.
And
the
way in which you can move on the three tracks, that's kind of sets it. It's another thing that sets it apart, isn't it, from many others? But when the devs got the Saturn right, Jesus, that game could pump out some visuals.
Mm. Yeah,
and it is a real visual spectacle.
Yeah, and think of having six friends playing that.
Yeah, amazing.
With all of the, you know, with all the enemies even on the screen, and that thing still just cranked along smooth.
Yeah,
pretty smooth.
And
again, I think all the moves, you can actually go into a list and actually find the moves and
rather than having to puzzle them out and just bash and hope.
That's right. Yeah, there's a whole bunch. I mean, it was, you know, at least 10 or something. It's a lot of moves that these characters do. So a little bit of replayability, having different paths to choose, like Outrun, those type of things.
Okay.
I guess it was ported to the 360, as it looked like. So I don't know if it's still active. Wouldn't that be cool to actually Xbox link that together?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's if it's even available.
Yeah,
to
well,
buy.
I assume there was some Xbox Live Arcade multiplayer when it was released. I don't know for sure, but there must have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Mustn't it? Some kind of online multiplayer. Well, I would have thought so.
Yeah, yeah. Those servers are still online, aren't they? Yeah. The Xbox Live service. So.
Yeah, I don't know whether it is back compat. One thing that it would be really fun actually to check out if it does make the grade.
Maybe I'll do a quick game. You know, non Google search here real quick and see if those things are still active while you guys move on to game number one for you.
So Chris, come on, what's your game?
Okay, mate, so you're going to laugh at the games I've chosen because I've bookended the release the releases of the Saturn.
Wow.
I'm going to go in chronological order.
Of course you are. Taking those boxes again.
My first title is a... Well, it was at least a Saturn launch game in North America. It may have been a Saturn launch game in Europe as well. It's a game called Clockwork Knight.
Mm.
First party Sega game. Do you guys know Clockwork Knight?
So I only know it from the Retro Game Squad. They played it and really liked it back in the day. So
yeah,
but that's all. I've never played it myself.
Yeah, Mark, have you played
it? I did play it. I owned that game at some point, and yeah, it's a really wild looking 2.5D.
Platformer.
It's another
puzzle platformer.
It's another real graphical powerhouse. This game, it's a very common game around now. I think you can still pick it up pretty cheap because obviously it's a launch title, or at least I'm pretty sure it was a launch title in both Europe and America. I don't think it was in Japan, but like most launch titles, you know, they always sell a fair amount because there's very little choice. So you can't. I think it is readily available. This is a game I've never played, but I've read a fair bit about, and I've seen videos of it. It does look absolutely gorgeous. Again, as a showcase, if you got your Saturn at launch and you were looking for a game to show off to your mates, look how amazing this thing looks. It does represent, I think, a huge graphical upgrade on the 16-bit as a 2.5D scrolling platformer. That's the good news. I think the bad news for this game and maybe where we need to think about it, well, you guys need to think about it when you're deciding which of my two games to choose, is I think once you strip away all the super duper graphics and it sounds nice, I think, as well, I think what you're left with is a pretty good, but probably no better than good, platformer with... I think the game has 13 levels. You go through each of the levels. You get to the end. You fight a boss. You move on. And you go through the game in that way. Presumably, you can save. So it won't be like Bonk, where you have to play the whole damn thing all the way through. But I don't think mechanically it's massively interesting. But the game has, you know, given the game that you've just played a platformer. The game is known for its low difficulty and approachability. So it's one which I think people will be able to get through. And it might be quite just a nice, chill time to play through after playing Sonic 2, just to go through. It looks nice. It sounds nice. It's not massively challenging. It's not a huge time commitment of a game. It might be just a nice thing to play after playing Sonic 2. And also, I think, for again, we've never played a Saturn game in the Game Club, so what better place to start than the start, right? And a game that really does... show off what the Saturn can do, especially with 2D visuals, which is a complete difference from my second game, but with nice, beautiful 2D visuals, I think it's definitely one that we should have a look at.
Now, you said this is a launch title. Is that what you're saying? Because it was on the front?
It certainly was in North America, and I think it was in Europe as well.
Interesting. Well, it makes sense, too, that I mean, if it's not like the most perfect game, I mean, launch titles games typically can be kind of a struggle, but it is pretty cool that a game like that existed, you know, right off the bat.
It was a launch title in Europe, so it I don't think it was in Japan, but it certainly was in North America and Europe.
Mm. It's definitely a game you always hear mentioned as soon as you hear the Saturn, so it would be an interesting title to tackle.
Yeah. Definitely. What about you, Mads?
So my first title is actually a tactical RPG. It's because we were looking at the... I know this is an RPG month, but...
He's bringing the power.
I'm already shaking my head. You're killing me.
Hey, come on. Be nice, kid. So it's Shining Force 3, which is a tactical RPG. I've never played the third one. I played the first two. They are short-ish RPGs. I mean, definitely for RPGs, they're very short. Tactical RPGs, no random battles. Mark, you'll be happy to know there's story, of course, but not a lot of focus on the story. The focus is on the tactical battles. So in the first two Shining Force games, you'd be watching stuff from what is it called, top down perspective, right? There'd be these battles, and you'd have your some units could move like 10 blocks, and some could move 5. Some could do a lot of melee damage. Some needed to do range damage instead. So you'd be like micromanaging your little army, getting your swordsmen in front of your archers, for example, so that they'll get directly attacked. So that's what a tactical RPG is all about. So you got this, I mean, like the entire game, maybe there's 20, 25 battles you need to get through. And in this game, it's seen in a 3D perspective, kind of isometric, I think, actually. And you still have these squares that you move your units in, and you need to do the battles like that. So a battle is started, you have your 10 units, the enemy has 15. You need to figure out how to move those units, how to defend the weaker units, how to get through that. And that's the cusp of, that's what you need. That's the crux of actually playing a tactical RPG like Shining Force 3. And it becomes just one big puzzle. I love them. It's great gaming for just before bedtime, just lying there half an hour, just picking away at this and then putting it away. And if you lose a battle, well, there's nothing lost really. You just do it again. It's kind of like finding the right way through a puzzle and then on to the next part. And in between that, there's some story being told. It's an RPG, but there's no leveling. Normally, there's no leveling or stuff like that. I'm actually not sure with Shining Force 3, but at least there was nothing like that in the first Shining Force game. So I'd like to experience Shining Force 3, and it's a Sega Saturn exclusive, so I've never played it because I haven't played many Saturn games. So that's why I'm putting forward an RPG outside of RPG Month, because I think it will probably be a relatively short one.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've criminally never played a Shining... I won't say a Shining Force game, because there's a whole Shining series, isn't there? Shining the Holy Ark, Shining in the Darkness.
Yeah.
So they're not just the Force. The Force are the tactical RPGs. And
they were on the Mega Drive, right? That's why I played them.
Yeah, so Shining Force 1 and 2 are on the... Are they both on the Sega Classics for the Switch?
Yeah, I think they are, actually. Yeah.
I know at least one of them is.
I played one of them there.
Probably my... Well, I don't know. Do I like regular JRPGs or... Final Fantasy Tactics, for instance, is one of definitely top 5 games of all time. Incredible games. So, yeah, I love Vandal Hearts. More recently, the Project Triangle Strategy on the Switch. You know, they're all descendants of games like Shining Force 3. Mm-hmm. I think it looks beautiful, and... I'd love an excuse. Even though it's not Diving End to start, I can live with that. I would love an excuse to get into the Shining series. Looks really nice.
But you'd need to play the first 2-1, right?
No. I'll just happily jump in now.
Okay, Mark, next game.
All right, second game is a quick update. It looks like it does play on the Xbox One. It looks like it's still for sale. Looks like $5.
Yep. Okay. Nice.
That could be fun.
I think I'm only seeing Guardian Heroes saying it's only maybe 2 players on Xbox. So that would, how fun would it be if you have 6 of you? But anyway, so it's game number 2 for me. I picked Astal. It was a close between this one and another game that ironically Matt's picked. So I stuck with Astal, and Astal, again, is another graphical, absolutely gorgeous. This is another 2D side-scrolling adventure. I know we just played Sonic 2. This is nothing like Sonic 2, other than the fact you go left to right. But your little character, I don't know what he is, but he's... He has a little bird that comes along with him and as a helper. And you're just, I mean, it's just your typical platforming game from, again, 1996, which is why we have no more Astal or Astal 2, as far as I know, because nobody wanted to play this game. So
it didn't sell at all well, did it?
It did not.
I was reading today.
It did not. And it has always been a fairly expensive game, even when Saturn things weren't so expensive.
The team behind it's really strong. They really hyped it as well. They threw a lot at this, trying to make it a mask off for the Saturn, but it just didn't work, despite getting really good reviews as well.
Yeah, and this game is just absolutely gorgeous. Again, just like Guardian Heroes, the colors in it, the animation, so fluid. And it's a game that I've never completed. I have played it multiple times, but never have sat down to complete it. It's one that I'd love to actually complete. So, I mean, that's as far as I've got for Astal. Have you guys?
I was reading Mark on. I was reading the article on HG101, Hardcore Gamer 101, mm-hmm. about it, and it was saying that the bird sound might be the most annoying sound effect in the history of gaming. Is that right?
It can't be worse than the birds on the. Really what were we playing on the on the beep?
Come on, Chris. On the which?
Were we playing on the beep on the BBC Micro?
Oh my God! Yeah, Exile.
Yes, exactly. Can't be worse than that.
Yeah, well, that is. What's the fairy called in Ocarina of Time? That obviously gets a lot of stick, doesn't it? Navi. Apparently, it makes Navi sound like the god sound into your ears.
She's a goddess, yeah.
But it looks beautiful, this game. I mean, this really does look pretty, so colourful. Again, you know, going to what the Saturn does really well with the 2/2.5D, it does look really pretty. And I think there is a bit more to it than Clockwork Knight in that there's a bit more exploration to the levels, I think, as well, rather than just going from left to right and getting through them.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
It does look a beauty, this game.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, I feel like this era, there's so many neat 2D platformers that I wouldn't say are hidden gems, because a lot of people have discarded and played them, you know, like this. And I don't know if you guys have ever played Klonoa on the PS1.
Oh, yeah.
Games like that. These are like king of the platformers. And I would put a stall right up there with it. And right before the collapse was 3D hit, you know, collapse of 2D before, you know, platforming games kind of came back in vogue. So, it would be interesting to explore, you know, kind of.
So Klonoa is definitely a game that everybody should play. We played that on the Game Club back when I did the Game Club on the Retro Game Squad forums, actually.
Yeah.
And I recorded with the guys about Klonoa, and I think they ended up picking that as their game of the year that year. It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful, beautiful game. So there's a lot, I think, on the PlayStation, Saturn type of era, these 32-bit machines. So, that would be a fun one. That'd be a really neat one to see also. It's going to be hard. All of these games are going to be really fun and interesting to look at.
Good stuff.
Nice.
Chris, second game from you.
Strong picks from Mr. Billund. Mm. So you'll like this. So my next game is a game that was the last commercial release for the Saturn in Europe.
Okay.
A game from 1998. Deep Fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, I'd be surprised if you'd heard much about this, because it was never released in North America.
Yes.
Crazy.
I looked it up because I was like, I've heard of the name, and it's only been in, I would say, you know, in the recent years, never back in the day. But yeah, never heard of it.
So this is a real curio, if you ask me, because this is, again, a first-party Sega title, Sega AM7 team. And if you look at the names behind this game, it's got a really high profile production team. So it's got music by a guy called Kenji Kawai, which you may not have heard of, but Kenji Kawai is one of the biggest names in anime soundtracks. It's got the graphic artist was a guy called Yasushi Nirasawa, again, who you probably haven't heard of, but again, one of the real premier graphic artists of the time in Japan. They threw a lot at this game, and for such a late Saturn game, which didn't even get released in one of the major gaming territories in the world, it's really weird. It's probably now best known as one of the most blatant rip-offs of the original Resident Evil that was ever made. It came out in that window where, you know, Resident Evil had come along and had probably changed horror gaming forever with its fixed camera perspectives and use of sound, etc. from what I've read, and I've never played Deep Fear, although I love classic survival horror games. You know, those mid-90s survival horror games are really my jam. So I've always known about this game. But from what I've read, it does riff so closely on the Resi formula. Hammy voice acting, B-movie plot, fixed camera perspectives, pre-rendered backgrounds. But whereas Resi just came along and just reinvented all of this, I think the games like Deep Fear imitate. And although imitation is the best form of flattery, as we know, they never quite get there in the way that the original did. Having said that, the game does do new things. So it's a bit more mobile than Resident Evil. You can move while you're shooting. There's very little backtracking apparently until the end of the game. It's not as difficult as the original Resident Evil. It's not as puzzle focused. It's more combat focused. But it does have a really good storyline, and it does have some nice graphics, and it does have some nice sound. As I said, this incredible team that worked on it. There's never been any sequels. It's one of those one and done crazy things that released at the twilight of the Saturn. But I think it looks really interesting, and I think we'd have a real laugh playing it. I think it'd be funny to talk about, you know, the cheesy voice acting and the blatantly terrible storyline. And the one key mechanic it does have, actually, which is worth knowing, is that the real challenge comes from it's set on an underwater base, and in every room you go into, you have an air supply. So this precedes the likes of Dead Space, Mads. So it has an air supply, so your oxygen is constantly running down, and the recharge points dotted around. So you've got to think about where you're going to go and how close is it to a recharge point. And apparently it does add some real tension to the gameplay, which sounds like it's needed, because I don't think the combat's overly challenging.
Okay.
I think it's a perfect game for the Game Club. I think it looks really good.
Okay, good choice, mate.
Wow.
Never played this before, never even heard about it, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, again, only in passing, and I've never seen videos or anything of it, so it actually sounds pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. It does.
What about
and what you can
you?
Hear so in the background is just game? My dog barking. Just never mind.
Well, there's no editing going on this, but I'm just going to put this out, so warts and all, this one.
We've got Lemmy on the recording this time. That's good. That's all good.
What's Lemmy's choice then for the Sega Saturn?
So he'd be playing Brutal Legend, I'm sure, because he was in Brutal Legend. But on the Sega Saturn, the last choice for me is KO Flying Squadron 2. So a lot of us have probably played the first one, but this is a completely different kind of game, because this is a platformer, a beautiful one, but it's also a shooter, because there are shooting levels in there. So horizontal shooting levels where you ride a little dragon like in KO Flying Squadron. So it's a platformer with nice anime-like graphical styles. It's so beautiful, and it looks really good fun to jump and run. And of course, it's got the classic platforming tropes: jump on the head of people and they die, or you can just whack them with your umbrella, for example. And it's got those shooter levels as well, so it really intrigues me. This game is the winner of the vote this time, I'm sure. I'm really looking forward to diving in to KO Flying Squadron 2. And it looks just as good as Astral, if you ask me. So, yeah.
It's interesting.
What do you think about that, Mark?
I actually own this game because I owned the original KO Flying Squadron, so I figured I'd buy the second one. So I got rid of the original KO Flying Squadron because of the value of that thing was insane, and I can't stand when things get way too expensive sitting on my shelf behind me, because I could get flooded any day. So, in the basement. But KO Flying Squadron 2... yeah, because the first one is on the Sega CD, and it's just a shooter, and it's a cute. Yeah, I call it a cute 'em up, right? Instead of a shooter, it's a cute shooter, exactly. And it's fun. It's great. But yeah, this game has always intrigued me because it has those same shooting elements with the platforming, which, you know, if you get tired of just a shooter, you get tired of just platforming, it's kind of perfect. It's the perfect kind of combination. I have never done a deep dive into that game either. I mean, yeah, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't play all these games on the shelves behind me, or, you know, I've always popped them in at least once, but and say, oh, wow, that's pretty, and then I turn it off. So
Yeah.
But mate, you need to get rid of it then, because it's about a 200 quid game.
Oh, gross. Yeah, it's got to go.
eBay, watch out. That's,
yes, yes. Don't go for, looking for eBay's eBay purchases for this one, because it's a really expensive title, but it looks really nice. The graphics are beautiful, popping graphics, and I like the idea of the Sega Saturn as this 2D powerhouse. So yeah, I really want to see what it could do with a cutesy platformer and of course the shoot 'em up sections that I liked from Cave of Lions Squadron 1. So this is definitely my favorite choice here.
So the other neat thing with this game is that it did get a PAL release. I mean, this is a Japanese game, and so it is actually there's a PAL disc out there. I mean, I think
for but it never got it never got a US release, did it?
Never did. No.
No. Okay.
Wow. Mm. Amazing. So we've chosen all Japanese games on the shortlist?
Well, there is a PAL release, a EU European release for Chaos Flying Squadron 2 as well, and that even has some, I think, English voice acting there.
Same with Deep Fear, actually. Mm. Deep Fear has an English voice track.
Okay, both of my games have US releases, Astal and...
But they're all Japanese made, right? I think all of our six games are all Japanese made games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know anything about this game, and I have to confess, I don't really like kind of mixing genres. I tend to find that both of them are just not very good when they do that, but let's see.
Mm.
Let's see.
Well, how are we going to whittle down a list?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, and Mark, you're going to go first.
Well, why are we going to do this? So are we going to do the other two have to agree on... Is it kind of a... Do we discuss
I think we should. I think, like, to
make it interesting, we're going to make it a free-for-all. So I'm just going to hand it over to Mark, and he's going to pick up one game of yours, of course, but he can pick mine if he wants to as well. But he's going to pick up one game, and then you, Chris, get your chance to pick up one game, and finally I get a chance to pick up one game. Because that would lead us at that beautiful situation where one person could be without any games left.
Oh, that's mean.
It's, okay.
It's always so wonderful to see Chris cry. It would be interesting to see what happens.
Oh.
All right, so Mark can pick... Mark can choose to eliminate any game, including his own.
Yes.
If you want
to. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know why
you... To make it interesting, you can't eliminate your own games.
Hmm. Okay.
Let's do it like that.
Okay.
Mark?
He wouldn't anyway.
Eliminate one of Chris's games. One of mine and Chris's games.
You can't eliminate two. I know you want to eliminate both of Mads's, mate, but you can't. You can only do one.
I hate RPGs, Mads. I can't. I just...
Come on, Mark. I just made up these rules and you're killing me already.
I mean, well...
Just to make a point, How Long to Beat.
Yes.
We love How Long to Beat.
Oh, yes.
Has Shiny Force 3 main... only 35 hours.
Good. Oh, God. Right. I won't have 35 hours.
Main and sides, 44 and a half, and completionist, 48 and a half.
Okay, that's a bit more than I thought, because I'm sure I spent 10 hours on the first one, for example. But
which would make sense. Okay. I mean, a Mega Drive game, RPG, I could see 10, 12 hours.
Yeah.
35
I love long games. I'm bang up for it, but I don't know whether that'll influence the voting.
Okay. I'm gonna have to get rid of Shining Force. There's just no way.
Oh, he cuts deep.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting burned. I'm getting the burn. I mean, because here's the thing. Deep Fear sounds really interesting. Clockwork Knight, I could probably live without, potentially. And Kyo Flying Squadron's one I could definitely deepen, too. I'd love to. I've always wanted to. I just never have. And that's one I actually have a physical copy of as well.
Mm.
I don't know.
Fair enough, mate.
But yeah, Shining Force, man, 40 hours you're going to make. You're going to do that once this year, and I get 2 months to do it. So you're going to force me to play some RPG.
He's got a point, to be fair.
Mm. He does.
I want to learn to love RPGs.
I'm still sad.
I really want to learn to love them. I do. I hate on them. I think because I've never been able to give them the time. So, I don't know.
Mm. We're going to find you some short, accessible RPGs, because there are definitely some out there. Some really good ones. So.
Well, maybe you find me two short ones. We do two short ones in RPG month. One for each month.
Now, there's an intriguing thought. That'll be hard, isn't it, Chris? Find two short good ones. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have a think. Chris, you get to pick one off as well. Now, I am the only one who's only got one game left.
Okay, so I need to choose one. Right.
Come wouldn't on. It be hard? So what have I wouldn't got it be left? Sad if Mads only had zero games?
That's not funny, Mark. That's not funny.
I love Mads too much to do that to him.
No, there's no way.
Although, do you know what? I'm not. It didn't sell me on KO Flight Squadron whatsoever.
It's going to win the vote, mate. It's going to win the vote. It's so beautiful. And it's got both platforming and shoot 'em up sections. It's
Jack of all trades.
It's the perfect mix.
Jack. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not. No, you.
Going back to Bonk.
Purely out of my fondness for you, Mads. I'm not going to make KO, although I don't think it sounds very good.
you bastard.
Okay. I'm sorry to do this, Mark, because I think Astel sounds like a really pretty game. And I would really like to play it. But I've just looked online at Guardian Heroes on the Xbox, and there is online multiplayer. And coupled with how good that game looks, I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued by it. And I think it'd be fun if we could get some online gaming going on it. So I am going to eliminate Astel.
But you don't like beat-em-ups, mate.
Sad to do it.
You send all the hate email to Chris. No, eliminate either one of those. You know, that's hard.
Plus, we have just played the platformer in the game club. I'm very conscious of that as well.
But that was a shit platformer, mate. Oh, sorry.
I thought there was no editing in this one. Oh, no.
My God, you make him work for me.
Yeah, sorry, mate. So my turn. My turn to eliminate some of one of Chris's games. That'd be good.
Or one of yours.
No, I can't eliminate my own, of course, because that is the winner of the vote this time. KO Flying Squadron 2, people. Vote KO Flying Squadron 2. We've got Guardian Heroes from Kit, and I'm definitely going to eliminate one of Chris's. So, I mean, Chris, I think I'm going to make you sad here. Because
no, don't.
I actually want to play Clockwork Knight. Because
would you just play the platformer?
We have. But that's one of the games everybody talks about when they talk about the Sega Saturn exclusives.
Man, Deep Fear. You know, remember those old classic Resi vibes?
Yes. I hate old classic Resi. So I'm probably going to eliminate Deep Fear because it just looks so boring when I looked at the gameplay videos of it.
See what we have to live with here, Mark?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking Deep Fear might actually win the vote. That's probably why.
Raushi's crying.
He's probably.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. I'm sorry, Raushi. But
although he's probably crying that we didn't choose any of the porno visual novels that are available on the Saturn.
Oh, we can still pick those.
We'll do it after dark.
After hours.
Yeah.
So what for that?
So you're really eliminating Deep Fear?
I am because it's not because I think Deep Fear looks bad as such. It looks kind of bland if you look at the gameplay videos, but I really like the look of Clockwork Knight, and it's one of those games that everybody talks about when you talk about the Saturnus. It's one of those games that I think we should experience at least once, and maybe it's a bad game. I don't think so, but I'd like to experience it. Whereas Deep Fear is not one of the games I really feel like picking up. So that's it. Deep Fear has to go.
I can live with that. I brought Clockwork Knight for a reason, so that's cool.
That's good.
And it does look really nice.
It does.
I'd love to play Deep Fear at some point. Maybe, you know, maybe we could have a dedicated survival horror month towards the end of the year and we can bring it back.
And apart from that, Retro Game Squad, who is... They are all devout followers of the Church of the Sega Saturn.
Church of the Saturn.
Yes. They love Clockwork Knight, if I recall correctly. They played that at some point and they said it was a really good game. So there is definitely a good game there. And it's not just because it's a Saturn exclusive. So I'd love to play that. So we've got our game list. We've got the winner, KO Flying Squadron 2. The follow-up in, let's say, Guardian Heroes, and last but not least, we have Clockwork Knight. That's a good list.
That's a good list.
We'll see, won't we? We'll see how the people vote. I think what's interesting here is we always put this theory to the test. That it seems like Guardian Heroes is the most well-known game out of those three, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, possibly, yeah.
Clockwork Knight could be almost as well-known, right?
Yeah. All Clockwork Knight, mm-hmm. yeah. So, I mean, I'd never heard of KO Flying what's it, Flying Fortress?
Squadron.
Flying Squadron. You bastard. <Okay. laughs>
I'd never heard of that series.
I mean, come on.
You need to, with your Parodius playing, you need to just throw in the first KO Flying Squadron for the Mega City. Just try it.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
Well, it's easy to do that on the Mister now, of course. Yeah. So obviously, I might well check it out.
Oh, I've actually never tried the Sega CD on the Mister. Is that good?
Yeah, it works well.
Okay.
Yeah, it does work well. And 32X Sega CD work really, really well.
Okay.
You had to throw that just as a companion piece to your Parodius, just to see. It's gorgeous. So maybe it'll soften you to the second. Maybe.
Mm. I will check it out.
Yeah, this vote's going to be interesting. I don't know.
It's going to be really interesting. I've got no idea where this is going at all. Normally, when we put out three votes or three games for the vote, Chris and I, we do have an idea of which one is going to win, but I've got no idea this time. Do you, Chris?
Yeah.
Any bits?
I kind of think Guardian Heroes is going to do. Is the title that stands out on that list? Mm. And I think, you know, the people who just kind of log on and think, oh yeah, what are Guardian Heroes? But hopefully, people will get a chance to have a listen to this before they vote. And if they do, you know, they will hear our pleas. To be honest, any of those three, really, you know, KO, yeah. Yeah, I'll wait and see. It sounds intriguing, but it'd just be nice to be playing a game on the Saturn after all this time. I've had my Saturn for probably three years, and I've barely touched it. Mm. So it's high time it gets a run out.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you guys have ODEs in your Saturns? I forget.
No, but I do have a chip, so I can play copies. Yeah.
Ah. Me too. Mm. And the few titles I've tried on it have worked really well, so I think it's a fairly solid... fairly solid CD drive I've got in there.
Yeah, me too.
But an ODE is in my future for the Saturn for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I've got both the Mode and the Fenrir, and they're fantastic. ODEs for the Saturn.
I'll probably go the Fenrir route at some point because that's a cheaper alternative and it seems to be really good. So
yeah.
I think it's more accessible for us, Mads, in Europe.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably.
I think.
Mm.
I think it's easier to get hold of.
Mm.
So, yeah. Mm.
But there we go.
All good.
So, we've got our three games.
Yes.
We're primed and ready to go for March. But you guys have still got three more days to play Sonic 2 properly and find some Chaos Emeralds.
So, sadly, I'll be working. So, no more time for Sonic 2. But and we've only got one day because we're recording tomorrow.
True.
That's true.
This is true. Gentlemen, thank you ever so much. And speak to you in March for some Saturn Church of the Saturn love.
Sounds great. Yes,
looking forward to it.
Take care, guys.
We'll see
you. Bye
bye.
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 From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, jam a retro, then G1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone. Pretty soon they'll be off on a mission.